say Dwight L. Moody one night, he was preaching on Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And at the close of the meeting, a man came up to him in extreme distress of soul. And he said something like this. He said, Mr. Moody, when I was leaving home, my mother made me promise that I would attend church every Sunday. And she gave me a Bible. And she wrote in the front of the Bible, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, of all these things shall be added unto you. He said, Mr. Moody, the first Sunday I was away from home, he said, I went to a church, and he said, the minister got up and preached. And he was preaching on Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, of all these things shall be added unto you. He said, Mr. Moody, he said, the next week I went to a different church. And he said, the minister got up to preach. And he preached on Matthew 6:33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. He said, Mr. Moody, 40 years have gone by. He said, I have gone to a church every Sunday for 40 years. He said, nobody has ever preached on that verse again. He said, tonight I came to your meeting, and you were preaching, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, Mr. Moody, you think God would still forgive me and save me? And Moody assured him that the door of salvation was still open. And that night, the penitent entered in. Just think of the patience of God. Over 40 years, long suffering, not willing that any should perish. And a mother's prayers that followed him for all those years. Sometimes I think God has a sense of humor. Even in connection with matters like the conversion, most of you have read or heard of George Cutting. He wrote that tract, Safety, Certainty, and Enjoyment. He said, a blessing to so many, myself included. It was through his writings that I really got assurance of salvation. You have never read this tract, Safety, Certainty, and Enjoyment. He was a great man of God, George Cutting. One day he was walking down a street in an English village, and the Spirit of God seemed to prompt him to shout out John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God, the taker of the sin of the world. Somebody preached. And here's George Cutting walking down, and he shouts out the top of his lungs, behold the Lamb of God. He went to accept the Spirit of the Lord constant in the same way. And it was the first that he did it. He said, hold the Lamb of God, take away to the world. Some years later, he was in that village, going to work for a constant. He went to the cottage door. Not on a he saw a lot of time in her life, but she was great. She was, sin was on her back like a head. And she said, she was crying, to the Lord. Deep conviction of sin, and she cried out to the Lord right that moment. Heard those words, hold and love. Lord, is that you? Say it again. And she heard the words, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. you know, if I didn't know the kind of a man George Cutting was, I would doubt that story. But he was a real man of God. And you know, I think, a wonderful thing. He's so sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit of God that he didn't know what he was doing. And yet it spoke that salvation was the sovereignty of the Spirit of God. Heard two fellows standing at the edge of an airplane hangar, and one is a Christian and witnessing to another fellow, and speaking to the leaders of the world. Around the corner, sailor is listening. The sailor gets saved. The man that he's witnessing doesn't. The infinite variety of salvation experiences. Spurgeon tells of an interesting thing. You know, it had to do with the Rock of Gibraltar. Apparently the Rock of Gibraltar is honeycombed with corridors, and there are guards on duty there, British soldiers. And one night there was a soldier, a Christian soldier, at this end of a corridor. And he was there alone, he was meditating on the things of the Lord. And there's another soldier down at this end of the corridor, and he's unsaved, and the Spirit of God is really working in his heart. And this fellow is standing there in the semi-darkness, and an officer comes and says, the password of the day. The fellow says, the precious blood of Christ. He said he recovered quickly and gave the proper password. He had been thinking about the blood of Christ. And you know, those words winged their way down that corridor to this fellow down here, and he ended his deep reply. A fresh word needed here. The pressure. I tell you, God's natural creation is wonderful, but it's more wonderful than his new creation. The way God works in heart and lives. I like to tell the story of a couple of friends of mine out in Honolulu during the war. In the after hours, they used to go out on the basketball court by one of them. His name was Dick Kegler. He was an unsaved fellow. The other was Christian first grade. And they were just playing, a bunch of fellows shooting baskets and all the rest. And Dick Kegler was watching first grade, and he noticed the other fellows used profanity. The other fellows lost their temper. Dick walked. He found that he was here. And the time came, and Bert had never been with him. Never said a word to him. But one night, Dick Kegler came to Bert and said, Bert, you're different. You've got something I don't. I don't know what it is. He was won by the love of a believer, a Christ-like Christ. And I think that's what the Lord meant when he prayed, that they all may be one, for the world may believe, how it said, all may be one in Christ-likeness. That's what will cause the world to believe that God has sent you. Some of you, I'm sure, have read the story of W.T. McKay, the young Scottish fellow, and he was leaving his home, and his mother gave him a Bible, which she wrote in it and added a verse of Scripture in his Bible. And McKay went off from home, and he lived a pretty bad life. But he was a very clever fellow, and he became a very talented surgeon. He was an ardent infidel, and he adopted a lifestyle that was not very consistent with the home that he had been brought up in. And yet I say, in spite of his lifestyle, he became a very successful physician, and he rose to be head of the largest hospital in Edinburgh. One day he was on duty and a patient arrived who had been horribly mangled. Dr. McKay was amazed by the peace and radiance
of the man's life.
And Dr. McKay tried to assure him, well, you're going to be all right. We'll take care of you. The man suspected otherwise. He said, Doctor, that I'm a Christian, that I'm ready to meet the Lord. How long do I have? And the doctor said, 3 hours. Well, he said, we've had somebody go to my clothes and take out the money to pay my rent and bring the book from my lodging. Said, I'm ready, I'm saved, ready, not afraid to die. And he asked that the landlady would send him the book. So the doctor sent an orderly to take the money to pay the rent and to get the book. And then the doctor went on his rounds. And later, he returned to that particular ward and he said to the nurse, how is that man who was brought in? And she said he died just a few minutes ago. And he said, where is the book that he asked for? She said, it's under his pillow. You can go and look at it. The doctor reached under the pillow and he brought out a Bible. It fell open to the flyleaf, and there he saw his own name. The verse his mother had inscribed with him. He rushed back to his office and fell on his knees and cried out to God for mercy and trusted Christ for his salvation. And in later years, he wrote that lovely book, Grace and Truth, W.E. Imagine God controlling that book, bringing it right back to its original owner, breaking his heart, leading him to Christ. The wonder of God in redemption. The varieties of experience and connection with the new birth. Now look, if we could throw a meeting, the time is gone, but if we could throw a meeting like this open, think of the testimony that was put. No two alike, all saved through faith in the Lord. But yet you see the ingenuity and the originality of the Holy Spirit in converging circumstances, bringing people to the foot of the cross. What a wonderful God we have. Shall we pray? Father, once again, we bow in worship before you. We know so little about you. We think that you're a man just like ourselves, and truly it can be said of us, your God is too small. But we do pray, Lord, that we might go forth from the conference with greater thoughts of you and with eyes open to see your majesty and your greatness, not only in creation, but also in providence and in redemption as well. Send us forth with a song of praise and worship in our hearts. And may our lives be a perpetual psalm of thanksgiving to you. In the Savior's name, amen.
Mm-hmm.